lost his football pool. His punishment was to spend 24 hours in a Denny's. We'll talk to him in a half an hour. Yeah, that's right. Serious news here on the iHeartTalk Radio Network. The Royal Rumble was held over the weekend. But enough of Prince Harry versus the royal family. What? Oh, a texter tells me the WWE also had a pay-per-view. Thank you to the texter. 2 months after his face caught on fire while fixing his cars, Jay Leno broke several bones after a motorcycle accident. You know what they say, the best medicine is laughter. So hopefully he's not listening to this segment right now. I tell him to keep his chin up, but I think that thing's a little too heavy to accomplish that. And finally, a group of scientists have concluded that there are cats that only have three different types of personalities. Each one of them hates you. I'm Jim Richards.
News Talk Tonight is on with your host, Jim Richards, on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I like this segment because, and I called it Men Tell Health, where men predominantly, I think it reflects to women, but mostly it's men not good talking about their mental health. I talked about mine last week. I'll even say to this morning, like I woke up in such a funk. I was pretty good over the weekend, but I had no idea why I was so down when I woke up. And I just, you know, start meditating and being grateful for the things that I have in my life. And I think that works for almost anybody. And if you're grateful for even the littlest things that are in your life. So it took me to kind of a while to shake those cobwebs off. I only bring that up because I know I talk about it a lot, but I think, you know, people sharing what works for them can be very helpful. So today we thought we would talk to a music superstar. I remember him. He talked to, I hate to do this to people because people do it to me now, and I feel really old when somebody says, I listened to you when you were a kid, but I remember I was in college. Michael Williams, formerly of Much Music, joins us right now, and he came to Loyalist College in Belvin, and I was like, wow, a superstar. Maybe one day I could be like Michael Williams, music supervisor and vice president of Grey Dread Productions, and of course, former VJ. Michael, thank you very much for your time. Hello.
Hey, no problem. How you doing?
Good. Thank you very much. I'm sure.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah. I'm definitely sure you don't. I'm definitely sure you don't remember coming to our college when you were a kid, but you probably did a lot of that when you were younger and at Much Music and went to colleges and spoke to aspiring broadcasters.
As much as I possibly could, because when I was in elementary school, I went into my first radio station with my sister. And then in high school, I started a little radio station I did morning announcements every morning. And if I did that, they would let me have a little, like a half an hour before that I could play music. And everybody would hear it if they were sitting in their homeroom. Who's sitting in their homeroom, right? Nobody really wants to be there at that time. But the teachers would hear it, and we would practice radio. And we invited our favorite radio stars to the station. And that was so inspirational. So I hope I helped. I love that stuff,
man. Yeah. Just having somebody stand in front of you who has made it is an impressive thing for any kid who wants to get into the business. What has there's no question. There seems to be since the death of George Floyd, and unfortunately, it took that for broadcast companies to reevaluate how they treat black people, people of color in the media. You have had to have faced tons of racism in your career.
More than I care to recall. And so I will write about it at some point. And it's But if you let that stop you, because if you think about that too much, or you let that stop you, then it, you know, you'll never get to where you're going or where you want to be. And that's a big part of the job, unfortunately, or any job, it seems, whether you play soccer or whether you're on television or whether you're whether you're playing Ariel and you look just a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think that the anonymity of the internet really lets people let themselves go. And when you have a president of the United States that lets himself go, that kind of gives people of like mind or people who didn't even have that thought license to do that. So we have the whole Karen phenomenon and various other things. I've had it all, man.
Yeah.
I had it all. The worst one of the, I mean, in on air, it's happened on air. People calling on the phones, things like that. And at Shome in Montreal, where I worked and kind of came into my own on FM radio, and a wonderful place to be, man. My favorite. Everybody says, well, Much Music must have been your favorite job. Yeah, it was great. But Shome, oh man, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that was the pinnacle as far as I was concerned. And you'd get racist calls on the phone and stuff like that. There's been a lot worse, which I don't want to delve into because Black History Month is around the corner.
Yep.
And we can be a hell of a lot more positive than that. But I think in the job, you really find yourself doing the Jackie Robinson thing, you know, kind of smiling, turning the other cheek. Mine was keep your head down and keep going to where you got to go.
That's got to hurt, though, Michael, when you're just as talented.
It was like, you know, when you,
that's got to hurt, Michael, when you're just as talented as the next guy, but you are dealing with something. You were born looking a certain way, and people aren't giving you the same shots.
It's an extra, it's like being, you know, the best was Nona Henderson. She explained it to me. I did a little radio documentary, which would have been called a podcast today. It was Black Rock Part 1 and Part 2, and they were award-winning, and they were on Shome. And she said to me, she said, it's like going in to play tennis, and you find out just before you learn the rules, you learn the game, you play it really well, and you find out just before you're going to hit that match point that it's Thursday, and you can't do that on a Thursday. The rules change.
Yeah.
So, but we see that now on television. As a broadcaster, you know, I'm sure you've had to, or the management probably has had to readdress a few things all along the line. I think a lot of people have and are looking at it, and the people that don't sort of pay attention to these things are going to possibly lose in the long run, definitely lose the curb a little favor.
Yeah.
But it's been really difficult, and you wouldn't expect it to be this difficult in Canada. But yeah, there's a lot of race games and a lot of things that play that actually shouldn't. And in America, we had radio stations of a different type, be they Mexican or Black or whatever. There's enough of that to do there. In Canada, there really isn't enough to go around.
Yeah.
And it's a different broadcast landscape. Although the democracy of the internet has eroded away at traditional radio, satellite radio, which Sirius XM is out there. So you can damn near find whatever you want for your ethnic group or your gender.
Yeah.
Right.
When we come back, I'm afraid this conversation is going to go by really quickly. We've already been talking 10 minutes, and I know we got a lot of things to talk about. When we come back, I'm wondering how one deals with that and how they feel about themselves when they know that they're fighting against, perhaps in some situations, situations that, you know, you're not on an equal playing field. We'll also talk about Michael's charity called Drive, and we'll talk a little bit about how he feels about media as well. This is our mental health segment. Mike Williams is with us. Again, he's a music survivor and the vice president of Grey Dread Productions and former Much Music VJ, next on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
This This is News Talk Tonight with Jim Richards on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I like our weekly segment called Mental Health. I like Michael Williams, who is the vice president of Grey Dread Productions, and some people might know him as a former Shom DJ and also a VJ on Much Music. If we can talk about you for a second, I mean, this is Mental Health. You accomplished a lot at a really young age. I'm guessing confidence has never been a problem for you.
Absolutely it has. 100-200%. The first autograph I ever got was the late, great James Brown. I went to the show. I was probably about 9 years old. I went to the show by myself. I sat there. I bought a program, and I waited 2 to 3 hours afterwards to get his autograph. And when he came out and started signing autographs, I was probably trembling there and holding it up. I couldn't even speak, and his tour manager saw me, got a pen, got my program, and said, "For him, James." And he did my name? No. And he gave it to me. And I was, from that point on, I was pretty much so done. It was rock and roll for me.
Yeah.
But confidence, yeah, man. I was afraid of a lot of things. And because I grew up in inner city in Cleveland, Ohio. Pretty rough out there. It's kind of like Detroit and Chicago, but we were the home of the Untouchables, and my high school was a place that you could die going to school there on a regular basis, and friends of mine did.
Yeah.
So if you didn't have confidence and a little bit of swagger and hold yourself right, you could die tonight.
So what so was that like, Michael?
Quick, where I came from, to take care of yourself.
What was that like? Because I know you lost two fathers, no?
Well, I had a stepfather that was absolutely wonderful, and he was great, and he was a former Golden Gloves boxer.
Oh yeah,
and an independent truck driver. And my father was an ex-Navy man and a saxophone player and a musician and an architect and a mechanical engineer. And he just died actually just last year. And I'm not going through anything that a lot of men our age are going through, losing their friends and people that they look up to and people that they love. And that is, I lost my sister also in the process before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that stuff just rips you apart. Every day, good friend just lost her dad yesterday, so every day we have to deal with this. And in my most recently, well, a while back, the whole Naomi Judd thing, I did a report on that for CTV, and somehow I just knew that she had taken her own life. And and I just had to handle it in a special way because I knew before they reported it.
Oh, you did.
So I just handled it as if I knew, but didn't mention it. Basically couched it in a way that it would be okay. I wanted to do it so that Winona would look at it and say, "Yeah, that was nice. That was okay. Thank you for doing that for my mom."
Yeah.
But a lot of musicians have a lot of problems. And that's where the Drive Foundation comes in. Myself, Steve Lillywhite, Michel Titien, who started it. It's basically individualized recovery and therapy through music and art and really what they do.
And is that your foundation, Mike? Is that what you just alluded to, the Drive Foundation?
It's not mine. No, no, I'm an ambassador of the foundation.
Okay.
And I speak for them, and I also help out with some of the programs. It's a fairly new thing for myself and Steve Lillywhite, who works with you two and Simple Minds, great producer, Peter Gabriel, he's involved, and a bunch of other musicians are involved. Basically, it's musicians helping musicians through some form of recovery. And It's a great little thing. It's, look, any foundation, anything that helps, helps.
Yeah.
Get help if you need it, because it's there and available for you. And really, your Medicare covers it. You don't have to worry about paying for it, but get that help. And I mean, for men, why did you start doing this program for men? You mentioned that you talked about your own struggles.
I just think, Michael, that men don't talk about mental health. It's, you know, it's as much as, you know, any kind of movement, including the Let's Talk movement, might have moved the goalposts. I still think there's a huge stigma behind it, like a huge stigma.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a, when I was at Much, actually, in the latter days, I sort of formed, I didn't form anything. It just happened around my house. Friends that would get together for a drink, we'd wind up in the same place every once in a while. So I said, let's do this every once in a while. And we were all going through various stages of relationships, divorces, marriages, whatever. And it was just us. And we sit around with cigars and, you know, sort of chomp on those and listen to tunes and, you know, and talk about men things.
Yeah.
And that was a whole new experience for me, because to be with men, normally I was the younger man and I'd be around the older guys, and the older guys would sort of allude to telling you what to do and you'd sort of be half listening and stuff, but they really knew.
Yeah.
Now I know they really knew.
Sure.
And it would have been nicer to have that talk. Like, did you have those talks? I didn't have those sort of talks with my dad very much.
I did not either. I did not either. I remember the first time I told my dad I loved him. And he was like, what the hell is going on? Are you dying? Like, what? Why would you even mention this to me? And so to me, it's a new thing, you know, men talking to men to say, you know what, I'm not feeling great today. I'm feeling a little down. Or that's something that never occurred to me most of the time in my life. And I'm wondering, with all that trauma you talked about, is there any special way you deal with that stuff?
Man, I like going to the country. I like riding horses. Just me and the animal out on the trail. Last year, I went to Slocan, BC. Hello, Slocan and Grand Forks. For the last 4 years before the pandemic, I was in Grand Forks, BC, and hosting a festival in both of those places. Always a great time for me to be out, you know, doing some music and playing some music occasionally. And that really is freeing for me. This past year, I sat in the mountains of Slocan, and I sat at the foot of the mountains, man, and just kind of felt free and spent a lot of time with myself in between the work I had. I like going to where I'm going to work sometimes and taking a few days before I start.
Yep.
Or maybe a few days after, and, you know, get a little rest. I love going to the country. I would always, even when I was at Much, I'd go spend time in BC, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland. I mean, I love traveling the country, and people are always wonderful. And occasionally I get to play with bands out there and making music and playing music and with some other folks. That's really relaxing for me. But being alone in the country with the things I like around me or the people I like around me.
Yep.
I really enjoy that.
I wish we had more time right now.
And I came back to the city. So.
I wish we had more time right now. Where can people? I wish we had more time right now. But where could people find you?
Well, recently in the Doug and the Slugs film.
Oh, the documentary,
just
yeah.
Aired on CBC.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, the documentary, Doug and the Slugs and Me, by Teresa, a wonderful film. And then I'm working on the Living Color film.
Oh, cool.
They've got a film. We're hopefully going to be shooting some of that in Canada. And there's a few other films. So more film. There will be a whole bunch of stuff coming up. I've done a bunch of music. That's, like I say, music is a big
Michael,
part
I'm
of
so
how
sorry
I
we have a terrible.
That's kind of cool.
Thank you very much for your time. I'm so sorry we have this connection. It's like I'm talking to you in Australia. Hopefully we can get you on again sometime.
Michael
Williams, Grey Dread Productions, former Much Music VJ. I'm Jim Richards. This is Mental Health on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network, and News Talk Tonight continues with Jim Richards.
85% of adults think that they're financially responsible. 85% of people. I have a hard what percentage of those people do you think are delusional? Like, to a certain extent, I think I'm financially responsible, and then I know I, you know, shouldn't pay $60 on Uber Eats for something that I could probably get for $20. But after tip and all sorts of other garbage fees, sure, so hold on, is Uber Eats a sponsor? Other reasonable fees, I'm just like, $60 for this? And I keep doing it. But other than that, I think I am, I think I'm probably, it's mostly because I'm stealing money from my mom to go see strippers. That's why I'm financially responsible. It's interesting that this study says that most people are still reliant on their, 35% is not most people, but 35% of people still rely on their parents for one bill or another. And we'll get to that in about 15 minutes time when we break down the numbers. But first, we talk to Juan Delgado, who is the senior marketing manager of the YMCA of Greater Toronto. Not why we're talking to him, though. Recently, he lost his football pool. That might be inaccurate, but I think that it's accurate. And the punishment was to stay 24 hours in a Denny's. He lives in Toronto, so he stayed in the downtown. This is one on Dundas, Juan?
That's correct. The one on Dundas, right downtown.
You sound really happy right now. how long ago was this?
This was actually just like 24 hours ago. I finished at 8 p.m. last night.
Oh, wow. How much sleep did you get?
At the Denny's itself, I got about 45 minutes. Since then, I've had about 12 hours.
Oh, that's good.
Pretty fresh.
Did you weigh yourself before and after?
No, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I thought about it, but no, I didn't even want to know what I weighed afterwards.
Oh, do you feel, no offense to Denny's, do you feel gross right now?
I definitely had more fried food than I had in a while, but it wasn't bad. The Denny's food was actually surprisingly good. I will say, after trying all of their types of cuisine, they definitely do breakfast the best.
They do. Oh, that sounds like a slam against some of their other options. But I know you had a plan of attack. You wanted to do unhealthy, then unhealthy. Could you give us examples on how that worked? What were you having, a salad every other meal?
Well, I came in with a plan, but like my fantasy football league, it all went to crap at the end. I started with mozzarella sticks, which was a bad idea because I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, boy.
I started that. And actually, the best thing on the menu for me was the chicken tenders. I had two orders of chicken tenders in the 24 hours. They were really good. They were fresh. They were delicious.
So how does this work where they don't kick you out? Like, every once in a while, do you just, like, hang out with a coffee or a water before they say, hey, Juan, you got to get moving if you're not going to order something else?
Well, I had gone in about a week before and asked the manager if it was okay.
Yeah.
But I had friends come in throughout to help me support. So my booth was always had food, and we were always ordering stuff just to keep it going. I didn't just stay with an endless cup of coffee the whole time.
I saw a report recently where somebody in a similar circumstance had to spend 24 hours in an IHOP, an International House of Pancakes, but they got to take an hour off their time for every order of pancakes that they ate. And I think have you heard this one? But the guy had like 12 orders of pancakes, maybe more. And I think he had more where he ended up only doing 8 hours in the International House of Pancakes. Is this a popular, hey, hangout in a diner? Is that a popular punishment?
To be honest, I don't know. But when I asked for permission, they said that I wasn't the first one that had to do this this bet. So I guess it is popular.
So what did the person win who won the football pool?
They won $1,000. It was $100 to get in, and the second place person, it was 12-person league, second place got their money back, and then first place got $1,000.
And the loser had to do what you did.
Correct, yeah.
I know you did it for a charity. How did you make money off of this for the charity, which is, I'm guessing, the exact same place that you work?
Yeah, it's a division of the Y it's a youth shelter for the Y just in downtown Toronto, actually a few blocks from that Denny's. So I actually got to tour the center this summer, and I didn't even know what they did, really. I had worked at the Y for 5 years. I still work at the Y, but I didn't really know what they did or what it was about until mm-hmm. this summer. And when I learned about it, it was really cool. Like it's not just a shelter. They do a lot of programs. It's really holistic. They're trying to get the youth back on their feet. There's programs to help them get back into high school if they've lost their way, or post-secondary. They take them to the zoo or other fun activities. They took them camping last year. So it's not just a shelter. They really build a community, which is really cool.
That's pretty cool. So how much money did you raise for that organization?
So counting as of like the last time I checked, which was about an hour ago, it's just over $5,600.
Well, that's pretty good. You want to give the internet address?
Yeah, for sure. The best way to reach it is to go on my Instagram, which is Del Juan, DELJUAN, and then the link is in the bio, because the link is really long. If you go on my Instagram, the link is in the bio, you can quickly find it. Or now, because this is kind of blown up, if you just Google Toronto Man Juan Delgado, you'll find the link pretty easily as well.
Google Toronto Man Juan Delgado if you want to help out a very worthy cause. When you said you slept for 40 minutes, was that actually in the diner's booth?
Yeah. I was doing a live review of the new Netflix movie, You People, and I just dozed off. That kind of tells you what I felt about that movie.
Is that the one with, what's his face?
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill, yeah.
Eddie Murphy was great in it, and so was Julia Louis-Dreyfus, but it's just the movie. At 4 a.m, it didn't keep me entertained, unfortunately.
What is the busiest time at a Denny's? Is it the breakfast or the late night drunk crowd?
I was kind of dreading that late night crowd, but the late night crowd was actually really easy. There wasn't that many people. It was busy, but it wasn't crazy. But the Sunday crowd, every table was packed. Sunday between like 10 o'clock to 3:30, it was packed.
And did anybody want to sit with you because you were the only person in a booth, or did you have friends drop by for Sunday morning?
Yeah, I had friends drop by for Sunday morning. I had a bunch of friends drop by, so it all worked out in the end.
What are your recommendations for anybody going to a Denny's right now or in the next little while?
In terms of food or just like how to survive it?
In terms of food.
In terms of food, definitely the chicken tenders. And you know what? If you go to the Dundas location, the staff, I have to give a shout out to the staff. The staff were amazing. They went out of their way to like accommodate it. They even like at one point they're like, look, if you want the bigger booth at the back, we'll kind of shut it down for you and you can like sleep. You can probably like get a, like your full, you know, body down and you can fall asleep and we won't let anyone bother you. I didn't take them up on the offer. I tried to stay up as much as I could, but they were lovely. I mean, the staff was great.
Are you joining the pool next year?
No, I'm retiring.
All right.
I'm retiring after this year. I understand what I'm good at. I'm pretty good at fundraising. I'm not very good at fantasy football.
All right. Juan Delgado, great story. Thanks for the fun. And I hope you get some sleep and maybe lose some of that chicken tenders weight. If you want to. I'm not body shaming. I have no idea. Okay, Juan Delgado, great fun. Thank you very much for your time. In a moment, 85% of adults think they're financially responsible. Is that accurate? Next on the iHeartTalk Radio Network.
It's News Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Here's your host, Jim Richards.
Next hour, we will break down some of the bigger news stories in the country with our roundtable, and we'll get out of here with Slow News Day, which is when we take a look at some of the topics that have been discarded by previous shows on the iHeartTalk Radio Network, and we try to figure out whether or not they got a fair shake. I saw some numbers being broken down that 85% of adults think they're financially responsible. I think a lot of people might think that they're good with money, and then every once in a while they're dropping perhaps $60 on Uber Eats when the food is actually worth maybe $20. I'm exaggerating to make my point. Actually, I'm not sure if I'm exaggerating. And 35% of people rely on their parents to pay some bills. We're joined by Elke Rubach, who is the president and CEO of Rubach Wealth. Elke, thank you very much for your time. Are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you very much for your time. I'm guessing, as somebody who helps people get ready for retirement, how would you, when you're talking to a lot of your clients, do you think it's accurate that 85% of people are financially responsible, or they just think that they are?
Well, I think the number is pretty accurate. But I'm a bit of a contrarian, because it really depends on how you define financially responsible. Financial responsibility goes well beyond your cash flow management. My first question to our clients or people who approach our firm for a plan, for a retirement plan or estate plan or any of those things, is, do you have a will? Because you can be very responsible spending and making money, but if you don't have a will, that plan is not going to work out.
What's the answer usually when you ask that?
Yeah, I think we have one, and I think it's like 12 years old, I think.
Yeah.
And then you pull the paper, and it's 19 years old, and the kids are no longer minors. And I mean, it's fine. It's not a matter of punishing themselves. We want to normalize the conversation around money. It's there. It's real. It's a fact of life. And it's sad to see that people think it's rude to talk about money, or it's not a good idea to talk with a family about money. But if your parents don't teach you about money, and this goes parents at every age and stage of children in their 40s, 50s, 30s, 20s, millennials, Z, pick a generation, how are you supposed to know? And yes, the financial industry has certain real rules of thumb, you know, live within your means, spend less than you make. But if you're not financially literate at a very minimum level, how do you know if you're living within your means? And if your parents are chipping in, is it because they want to do it? That's very different from having to do it, right?
It's interesting, because I think maybe we should take this conversation in a different way, since you answered that question that way. What do you think are the, I don't know, top three money conversations couples are not having that they should have?
Oh, the first and foremost is, how are we making money? And more important, how are we spending the money? Then divide it into what is non-discretionary. Those are things that you have no choice, but you have to pay every month, every year, etc. And what is discretionary? And that's where the conversation starts.
And how would you recommend that people handle that? Because I'm guessing you don't want people to be living a lavish lifestyle outside of their means, but you also wouldn't say never go out to dinner.
Well, there is an author that says, you know, don't buy a latte and you'll be rich when you're 40 or 50 or whatever he says. To me, if that latte is part of your mental health, let's figure out how many of them you can actually afford in 1 week. And it's a very personal conversation. We do a lot of plans for a lot of families, and every family is different. And you need to sit down and take responsibility, understand what's important to you, and with those values in hand, then you figure out, do we spend more now? Do we save later? How's your health? What are the children doing? Do they have, you know, activities? Do they have school expectations or costs for schools or activities or sports? What's the legacy you want to leave to your kids? And not just think in terms of what's my rate of return for next year. Let's approach money conversations long term and really turn it into a family conversation that can, if you do it right, the money with discipline can last generations if done properly.
So I'm guessing these numbers don't contradict each other when the same study says 85% of adults think they're financially responsible, but at the same time, 50% say they struggle with unnecessary spending or upholding budget expenses.
And I wouldn't even say it's a little higher, but the thing is that you're not aware, how do you know? And if you don't sit down and you know, take some time to yourself and figure out where you spent the money, where did it go, have the conversation with the family, when those unexpected expenses hit you, they really shake your foundation. And in some cases, people can figure it out or they can reach out to a family member. But right now, we're in a different time. You know, inflation is through the roof and probably higher than what an entire generation has ever lived through. Interest rates are really high, and that's costing people that were used to, you know, very disciplined paying their minimum every month. If you can't pay the full amount of your credit card and it's an expense that you can avoid, you shouldn't buy it. And it's discipline.
Yeah. Roughly, millennials are basically somebody who's 26 to 41 years of age. This study says 35% of adults in that age still rely on parents to pay some bills. Is that something that you see? Or it doesn't sound like something that an adult would want to admit about their adult kids.
Well, when we deal with our families, we're super confidential. It's a very, very, very personal conversation, and they tell you all their fears and their dreams and everything. So we don't judge, and we welcome the conversation. Yes, we have seen a lot of parents, particularly help with down payments, with monthly expenses here and there, the $2,000 here, the $1,000 there, or helping out with the children's expenses. And that's okay if it's an open conversation, or if it's maybe, where you're in a bit of a ditch right now and it's temporary, but if it bothers you to be financially dependent on your parents, you'd better not put your head in the sand and get on it before it gets worse, because it's a snowball.
Yep. Listen, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Very welcome. Thank you so much.
LK Rubak is the president and CEO of Rubak Wealth. When we come back, or next hour, let's talk about the rundown, which is our look at some of the big news stories of the day. And then we break down Slow News Day, some of the Slow News Day topics and whether or not they were actually Slow News Day's topics or should have been concerned as news. Some of them are beauts. I'm going to say they're beauts. On the way on the iHeart Talk Radio Network.